to the psalmist here. Turn our attention to the psalmist. Psalm 22. I'm going to begin at verse 11 of Psalm 22. I'm going to read the first verse and then skip to verse 11 and read to the end of Psalm 22. Dear people, this is God's word to you. It is for you. Hear now his word. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strongholds of nation have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, O ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, O ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is a governor among the nations. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. May the Lord bless and honor his word through us. Again, Lord Jesus, we're thankful. Thankful to thee for declaring your word to us and giving us an understanding heart. May we take it in, and thereby be saved and sanctified through the reading and the preaching upon it. In your name we ask this, Lord Jesus. In your name only we ask it. Amen. Well, I think that those of us who have heard sermons from this psalm, about this psalm, certainly who have heard messages and have received teaching from the gospel accounts, realize that this psalm is all about Jesus. It's exclusively about Jesus Christ. That's not what rabbis say. They have a different interpretation, different understanding of psalms like this one, or chapters in Isaiah which clearly talk about Christ, like Isaiah 53, for example. But they have a different interpretation, a wrong interpretation, one that leads them astray, and perhaps if they don't come to their senses, to the pit of despair forever and ever. Must read the scriptures with understanding and receive them into your life if you would have life eternal. Nothing else will do. Nothing else counts or matters in your life if you don't have Jesus. Nothing matters. Matthew Henry writes about this psalm in his commentary. He said, in singing this psalm, we must keep our thoughts fixed upon Christ and be so affected with his sufferings as to experience the fellowship of them, and so affected with his grace as to experience the power and influence of it. His sufferings, our Lord's sufferings, and his victory or victories are ours. We need to relate to them. We need to experience them. Not just the one, like his suffering and be just miserable and unhappy like some Christians are. Don't understand that unless there's a chemical imbalance. Don't understand that. Unless, of course, you lack faith, right? So we don't want to be all about suffering, and of course we don't want to be all about celebrating, because we're living in the real world, and this place is not paradise. I don't know how many times I've been asked of late by congregants, faithful people of God here at this church and other places as well, and on Sharon and stuff. Why? Why is this happening to me? It's a perpetual question, isn't it? Why is this going on in my life? Why am I so troubled? Do I believe? Do I hope in the Lord? Do I have faith? I don't want to minimize anyone's sufferings, anyone's hardships, anyone's losses, anyone's sicknesses, anyone's maladies, anyone's afflictions, so on it goes, right? It's all there. Don't you get it? Don't you see what I'm saying? It's all there. Each and every one of us are dealt a, or given a dish, and we need to eat it. Eat what you serve. Remember your parents telling you that? Eat what you serve. The dessert will come after. This world is not paradise. Any sickness, any sin, any challenge, any difficulty, anything is offered up to a Christian. The only difference between your life and their life in this fallen world is Christ. That's the only difference between us. Christ. It's disappointing sometimes. I know. I suffer too. I have three diseases. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One of them is going to take my life sooner or later. I know that. My family knows that. May not be today, may not be the next week. But it's going to happen. Jesus' sufferings. We need to identify with his sufferings. We have in verse 1 of this psalm, the tone of it, if you will, the theme of it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Again, in verse 11, be not far from me. Trouble is near. There's no one to help. This is Jesus talking like this. In verse 19, be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste to help me. Where are you? What's happening to me? No one of us, I know, again, I'm not minimizing, but no one of us has suffered like Jesus. But we can identify with suffering, right? We can identify with, Lord, where are you? What's going on? Deliver me, please, from this trouble. Do not allow it to bring me down to the pit of despair. And that's a valid expression in the face of trouble, whatever your trouble, whichever your trouble might be. But look at the Lord. He knows what you're going through. He suffered more than any one of us could understand because he was God and he was man. He is God and man. And perfect. Sinless. Sinless. And he did all this suffering. And you know, of course, he did it for you and for me. So this psalm is interesting because it's like in two parts. It has two parts to it. It has the not so happy part, the suffering aspect, the feeling forsaken, without a helper, he needed in need of a deliverer, trouble all around, you know. And then the second part is the rejoicing, the victory. You know, it's here. And the pivot verse is verse 21, right? It's where this is where the psalm pivots on verse 21. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. So there is that kind of conclusion to those prior verses, 20 verses. Save me, O Lord, deliver me. And then the rescue comes. Thou hast heard me. Thou hast heard my cries. Thou hast helped me in the time of trouble. Thou hast delivered me. See that? That's the story of our life too, brothers and sisters. Believe it. That we can identify here from an emotional and a practical point of view. You know, my life has been full of troubles and challenges and all, and yours too. Some of you have more than others, I know. But there's also that victory, that deliverance, that help that has come in time for me. I would have been dead, as I have probably mentioned to you more than once from this pulpit. I would have been dead had I continued to go in the direction I was going from about age 14. I started turning towards the dark side, as they say, and gotten worse and worse. And I would have been dead a long time ago had I continued. But the Lord heard my cry one day. Actually, I had been crying for a long time. And he delivered me. So, you know, I can identify. I'm not trying to minimize the Lord's suffering and his victory either. You know that. But just trying to identify with him in my own small measure, as I'm sure you would want to do as well in your small measure. So we hear in this psalm the sufferings, and we hear also the rejoicing. It is finished. It is finished, and then the rejoicing thereafter, because Jesus had gone to the cross. Now, you know why he did it, right? He did it for you and for me. He didn't do it, and so he didn't subject himself to this world of trouble because he's some sort of masochist or whatever you want to say. He did it. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and me. I want to reiterate, as many have done in the past, that this psalm is rehearsing here the scene of the cross. And he quoted from this psalm, Psalm 22, verse 1, on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why thou so? It is finished as well. It's all in this psalm here. It's all about the cross of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. And then, of course, the victory that followed. It is finished on the cross. He said that it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. And, of course, 3 days later, rose from the dead. As you and I will, too. Right? We're going to rise from the dead, too. We who are suffering now. We're going to rise. Jesus did it. We're going to do it. He was the first fruit of many to follow. But on the other hand, I do not want to give the impression that we can truly dive to the depths of this psalm. I'm going to talk about that tonight a little bit, not this psalm necessarily, but to the depths of Scripture, because there is an agony here of soul and mind and heart and spirit of our Lord and Savior that we just cannot completely ever identify, with which we cannot. It just goes too deep. The suffering of our Lord goes too deep. And as of yet, we cannot rejoice in the victory that our Lord has had either, because he rose from the grave and he ascended into heaven and there sits at the right hand. We haven't done that yet. But we know it's there. I'm afraid there may be some more suffering for us here before we leave this place. But there's more joy too. It's bittersweet. Then it becomes sweet. The bitterness goes away on that fateful day. Again, hear this. The psalm is for you. It's for me. Jesus is bringing his elect, his chosen sons and daughters with him here. You need to understand the psalm is all about Christ. You need to understand the suffering is all for you. You need to understand that the victory, the glory, is also for you. Because the gospel is presented from verse 22 on. The gospel is presented and it's promised to spread throughout the nations. It's spread to us, right? We have heard. We have been given ears and we heard this gospel. We heard the hope. We heard the faith. We heard the love of God that's in Jesus Christ that has overcome the world. He said, yes, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have persecutions. You're going to have sadnesses, sicknesses. You're going to have that in this world. But he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Do you see the empty tomb? That's coming up. We're going to talk about resurrection in a few weeks. See the empty tomb? I rose from the grave. I'm the first fruit. You're going to rise too. Yes, there's weeping now, but there's rejoicing to come. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. Living by those two commands, it just grasps the word. And you can run through life with it in a much better way than if you're bogged down by the the errors and the contradictions and the sins of the day, including your own. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that this psalm is for you. You heard about the suffering. Listen to verses 23 and 24. The gospel for you. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. O ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, O ye the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. That was Jesus, right? He cried unto him and God heard and rose up from and brought him up from the grave. Likewise, he hears your cries. He receives your tears, the psalmist says, as in a bottle he reserves them. Brothers and sisters, that's life. All life. It's suffering. With Christ by our side, he knows what we're going through. And it's rejoicing with Christ smiling over us as he's doing now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here, for calming us down just enough so that we can be seated here in your presence. And rejoice and bask in the sunshine of your love for us who went to the cross. Right? My bones, they stare at me. Verse 17, they part my garments among them. They cast lots for my vesture. But be thou not far from me. My strength hasten to help me, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. The horns of the unicorn is an expression for the altar where the sacrifice was, and ultimately to the cross. It's ultimately the cross, and he has heard me. Brothers and sisters, he hears you too. When I read this psalm and read about this psalm, preparing this message, and hearing the prayer request as I've heard them today, I know that you're not expressing everything in some of the prayer requests you have, some of the fear, the anxiety, the hurt, as well as the joy and all that. We've had prayer requests marking joy and gladness, and we've had prayer requests of great concern and deep, deep trouble. Brothers and sisters, from a psalm like this, from a word like this, I think you know that Jesus knows what you're going through. I think you know that. If you believe in him, you know that. But he also tells you in the gospel that what's ahead of you is wonderful. Beyond what I have words to express. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we're thankful for your suffering for us. We understand that you didn't suffer because of some troubled soul that you had or some depression or whatever. You suffered for your people, for your brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters of the living God. You suffered for us. Among others, of course, you suffered for us. And then you rose again and you ascended to heaven. And you've gone there to prepare a place for us that where you are, we shall be also. And so you rose in victory for us. Remind us, as you have done now in this message, remind us daily, Lord, that you lived and suffered and died and was buried and rose and ascended. All of it for us, your children, God's children. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Press these things upon us. We pray in your name. Amen.